Well, hello and welcome to still yet another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to join us on this very important day here at the radio station. We are in the middle of our summer fun drive, raising money to help support your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI Community Radio for, 27, 28 years now.
28 some.
That's the voice of Barry Lee, station manager here at KKFI, the big kahuna.
Oh, my. The boss. I am getting bigger every year. Yeah. That's true.
Oh, no, you're quite good.
Go on a diet.
But we're here to raise money to help support KKFI, the arts programming in general.
And how long have you been on the air now, Michael?
Since 1989.
That's impressive. And thank you for all you've done for the arts in Kansas City.
That's a long time, but there's been a lot of... I've seen a lot of theaters come, and unfortunately some theaters go over the years.
But we do our best to publicize what they do, and that's what you do, and that's what the station does in general, is that we're here about the local arts scene. And we've always, from day one, welcomed local artists and local poets and even graphic artists. You know, it doesn't have to be spoken word even. We're open to all of that here at KKFI. And if that's something that's important to you, if that makes your life a little better, going to a really good play by the Barn Players or going to a concert down at the New Record Bar or wherever you get your entertainment, we're like the first place to go to find out what's going on and actually hear it. You know, you can hear a lot of stuff live here for free on KKFI, and we only ask for an admission price two or three times a year, and this is one of those days. So call us at 888-931-0901. If the arts are important to you, if culture is important to you, if your local community is important to you, we need to have your support to keep this vehicle for all of these artists to have their works presented to you. We need to keep this going.
People in the artistic community tell us all the time, we never get any publicity anymore. We can't get it on any of the rock stations and any of the news stations. They can't do that. If they do anything at all, they'll do a two-minute spot.
If you're lucky.
Something. If they're lucky.
If you're lucky. We will when I do concerts on my show, for instance, I give the artist an hour. You know, I block off 2 hours, and the first artists get the first hour, and the second get the second hour, and they can do whatever they want. You know, they can talk, they can sing, they can play, they can do all those things, they can play CD tracks. Whatever they want to do, we give them a free forum to present their art in the way that they want to present it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to say to you, you've got 2.5 minutes, get everything in. You know, we're going to say, hey, sit back, relax, pull up a chair, you have all the time you need. And the listener, hopefully on the other side of the radio, is going, you know what? This is going to be a free concert in my living room or in my car. I'm going to turn it up and I'm going to listen to it. And then maybe if I really like what I hear or I like what I hear about, I'm going to go see that person or I'm going to go see that play or I'm going to go see that poetry workshop or whatever it might be. But we're the avenue for you to connect with all these things. And we think that's important to have in the community because, frankly, commercial stations aren't here to really do that. They're here to sell products. And we're the complete opposite. We're not here to sell products. We're here to promote our own community, the arts, the public affairs, the other things that happen here in Kansas City and the surrounding area. That's why we exist, and that's why the people have supported us for almost 30 years.
I've been asked, what is your goal? And it is to present what's going on where and give the audience an idea of what they're going to see.
Exactly.
And so they can pick. And there's a lot to pick from sometimes.
There is. And we have many arts calendars. We've just expanded the amount of calendars that we now present over the air. You do a wonderful job of letting people know what's going on in theater throughout the year. You know, it's not even seasonal anymore, as you guys all know.
Oh.
You know, theater goes, it isn't just a summertime thing. It happens all year round, and there are so many great theater companies in town. And, you know, we're here to help them in any way we can. And your show is one of the great conduits for that, because you're an actor yourself, and you're in that world. And it's great to have a show where people can, like these gentlemen that you're going to hear from very shortly here, can come down and tell you about what they're doing, and they're excited about that. And, you know, this is the way, you know, you couldn't do that in any other station in town. You would probably be turned away at the reception desk, you know. Or you'd be scheduled, you know, 3 months from now. But that's not how we roll here at KKFI. So if you appreciate that kind of commitment to the arts, commitment to our own Kansas City community here, call us at 888-931-0901. It's 888-931-0901. 1-800-931-0901. Pledge your support for not only this show, but for KKFI.
And they can also pledge online still at KKFI.org.
Yeah, on the front page, when you get to the KKFI website, you'll see a big red donate button, and you just log. All you got to do is click it. So I'm going to get out of the way and go answer some phones, and I'm going to let you continue on with your show.
Okay.
And thank you for letting me
And remember speak. The number. It's very important, and we'll talk more about it later, but 888-931-0901. Keep community radio alive, active, thriving. Information you can't get anywhere else you can get at a station like this. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, and please call.
Please call. Barry Lee, station manager. Who better to explain all this than the station manager? Yes, we do have guests. We're going to talk about some stuff. In fact, we're going to talk about a summer of activity going on at Johnson County Theater in the Park. They open later this week. They're scheduled for the summer. I guess Cabaret opens this weekend, followed by The Drowsy Chaperone, which is the show that these two gentlemen are involved with. David Tate Hastings is with us. He is the director of The Drowsy Chaperone. He'll be on the stage at Shawnee Mission Park beginning, June 17th through the 26th. Also with us, Eric Mangus. He plays the man in the chair. Also an actor. He's an actor in this show. But a director. We've interviewed him before in different capacities, both as a director and performer. Do you want to talk about the Theater in the Park in general first, or do you want to concentrate on The Drowsy Chaperone?
Oh, sure. I can talk about Theater in the Park in general.
Yeah, how many seasons now?
Boy, that's a really good question. You'd have to go to their website to know for sure. But
Been 30 at least.
Oh, I think more than that. Mm-hmm. I got involved back in the 1980s, and at that point people were talking about the different places Theater in the Park had been before that. But it's been around for quite a while.
I remember going in 1993, and it was basically just a concrete slab. There was a small building behind for the actors to change clothes, and almost everyone either sat on the grass or had a folding chair. Things have really changed, haven't they? In fact, I commented to somebody this past weekend, it looks a lot like Starlight Theater did in the late 1950s now.
It's a gorgeous facility, and you can come out there with your picnic and your lawn chairs and just sit on the grass under the stars. That's what I did this past weekend to watch the opening weekend of Cabaret, and it was just gorgeous. And little lights on the sidewalks as you come in, and it's gated all the way around. And I told Tim Baer, who's the producer out at Theater in the Park, that I think it looks about the best that I've seen it in the time that I've been around. It's a beautiful place to come spend a weekend.
It really is. It's a nice place to be. I would imagine for that first weekend, the crowds were probably thick.
It was a nice crowd. They had a lot of people out there enjoying the evening of musical theater.
In the past, when Tim has come, I always ask him, anything new this year? Anything that you know of?
I don't know. I can just tell you that it's absolutely beautiful. I think it was last year or the year before they added on the dressing rooms out there, and it just, the place looks really
spectacular. The facilities get better every year.
That's what I thought.
Starting to look professional. You don't want to lose your amateur status out there.
That's true.
It's a very nice place. It does look like Starlight looked like in the 50s. When the theater in Swope Park was more... It was more barren. There wasn't a lot of facilities. Almost everything was in the back. And of course, that's been improved. So has Theater in the Park.
Yeah, it's the 47th season.
47?
The 47th season of Theater in the Park. And you're right, they've added on over the years, and it just gets nicer and nicer. But it's a great place for the community to come participate in shows on stage and play instruments in the pit, or just to come out and with your family and have a nice dinner and sit on the hill under the stars and watch a show.
Sure, I've seen a bunch of things out there. One that comes to mind, they sunk the Titanic right on stage one time. 1 year, that was exciting. For people who've never been there before, and we might have some of those listening out there, is it on Renner Road? It's on the west side of 435?
That's correct. And just in Shawnee Mission Park. It's not the main entrance to Shawnee Mission Park. It's just a little bit to the north of that. And there's a big sign right outside, and then you drive up through the trees, and you can't miss it.
And people also want to know, what's the procedure? Do I reserve ahead of time? Do I pay at the gate? What's usually done?
You can do either. I bought my tickets at the gate this time, but they made it much easier a few years ago where they allowed you to start buying tickets online. So it's just very easy to get your tickets. Either you can just go to the theater website and get them that way, or you can just show up the night of the show.
I guess there are some reserved spaces, but for the most part, people are encouraged to bring lawn chairs or blankets and sit on the high ground.
That's right. I think people who like to get really close and have their blanket down front, they get there earlier. But for me, I just get there just right before the show, and I kind of sit up higher on the hill in my own lawn chair. Some people do like to buy some of the reserved seats, and they do have a row or two of their reserved seats on the side in the middle that you can you don't have to bring your own chair. Just walk down the hill and sit in a chair.
Now, I have a phone number and a website. Would the county rather I not give the phone number because they would be inundated by calls? The website is theaterinthepark.org, and the phone number, I'm going to go ahead and do it, 913-831-3355, and you'll probably go to a message or an announcement board, I would think, about probably some of the same things we've just talked about, procedures and all of that. But I guess the second weekend of Cabaret is this weekend. And then, according to what I wrote down off the website, a Frozen sing-along is on June 7th. Do you know anything about that?
That'll be exciting. I think there's probably a lot of kids out there and a lot of parents who've heard those songs over and over and over again. But that would be a great place to take your kids out. Very family-friendly place to sit and watch Frozen at night.
And you don't have to pronounce the lady's name right. You're not under Travolta pressure there to do that. That'll be on June the 7th, followed by the opening of The Drowsy Chaperone on June 17th. You and your colleague here, Eric Mangus, are in that show. You're the director.
That's correct.
David, and Eric is in the show.
I'm the man in the chair.
Yeah, the man in the chair.
That's how he's identified in the show.
That's how he's identified. A bit of the plot, if they've never seen it before. It was at the barn a number of years ago. I remember that.
It was. I'm going to let Eric tell the plot. He's very familiar with this role.
Well, he's in the chair.
I played the man in the chair in the barn production as well. So I'm really honored to be able to come back to this role. Basically, it's a man who lives in a New York City apartment. He lives by himself, and he's not really fond of the outside world or people. And so he sort of lives vicariously through his musical theater cast recordings. And literally the show is the man in the chair sharing his favorite cast recording, a 1928 musical called The Drowsy Chaperone, with the audience. And it comes to life on stage in his apartment. And that's basically the show.
It's a musical. Does the man in the chair have any numbers in the show?
He doesn't sing till very, very close to the end, but he really doesn't. He gives a lot of information about the actors who performed the characters in this show on Broadway in 1928, there's commentary about them, and he doesn't interact with them. He moves around through them, but he doesn't really interact with them or talk to them.
Yeah.
He talks to the audience. His scene partner through the entire show is the audience.
Sure. Now, there are a number of fine numbers in the show as well.
There are some great songs. It's the musical would remind you of maybe an Anything Goes or something from that particular time period. It's happy. It's upbeat. It's fun. The man in the chair comes in and says, I'm a little blue today. I need to see something listen to something that will make me happy. And so the musicals are that escape for him. And so as he listens to the musical, he just kind of reminds us that there's things in life that will make us happy. And for me, that's musical theater anyway.
Okay.
So I certainly relate to this show, and I think for Eric maybe as well. But he then shows that to us and then brings a little bit of joy to us.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, one of the interesting things about the show is how it was developed. Bob Martin, who originally played the man in the chair, he and his wife, Janet Vandegraaff, who is a character in the show, there's actually a Janet Vandegraaff, it was created by their friends as a wedding gift, a little skit. Based on this man in the chair, and it just sort of snowballed into this Broadway musical. Back when it hit the stage in New York, and I think it was 2006 or 7, it was sort of a little bit of a dark horse of a show that came out of nowhere, and it actually came about because it was presented by his friends and family to him and his wife as a wedding gift.
And if that gives the man in the chair pleasure to listen to these recordings, why not? Music can do things for you emotionally. It can bring you up. It can bring you down. Mm-hmm. It can make you melancholy. It can make you very, very happy and relaxed. Music, by its very nature, does that to our emotions. You know, and that's why musical theater has been so successful. Has there ever been a show at Theater in the Park that was not a musical? I'm thinking not.
I don't know of one.
Yeah, I think
they've all been musicals.
Strictly been musicals, yeah. How big of a cast do you have in the dress? As I recall, at the barn, the stage was pretty full.
There's about 20 people in the show, and they are all essential to what happens in the show. And the stage is going to look pretty full by the movement that happens. It all takes place in his apartment, so everything that you see, he's just sitting in his apartment listening to it, and then the album comes alive for him as he's there. And as that happens, the apartment will transform in different ways, and that's funny as well, and fun. And that allows the man to get involved in the action, as well as the audience as they watch it. So, yeah, there's only 20 in the show, but it's going to look, I think it'll look more like there are 30 or 40 as they dance around. And Eric tries to avoid them moving through his apartment.
Oh. costuming? Are you doing it as a period piece?
The costuming is just gorgeous. Tam Osgood has been helping me for a long time do costuming, and we're renting a lot of the costumes from a place in Kansas City, and it's just going to be gorgeous. It'll be worth seeing just for the costumes.
Oh, sure, yeah. June 17th through the 25th, that's 2 weekends?
That's 2 weekends. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the first weekend, and the second weekend, it is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Now, these are all evening performances. Do you wait till the sun goes down?
The show starts at 8:30.
The show starts at
8:30, and just right on time. And this is a fast show, so if you're thinking, oh, 8:30 is a little late for me, no, you've got to come to this show. I think the first act, well, really, when it was done on Broadway, it was just a one-act show.
Oh, really?
There is a monologue that kind of happens in the middle that talks about intermission that Eric has, and so we take a little break. He doesn't even get to leave the stage because that wouldn't make sense. He's in his apartment. And
so you stay in your apartment, yeah. Do you also serve refreshment?
No, I don't. We have the concession stands off to the side for that, so he won't have to serve any refreshments.
The Jazzy Chaperone, it's the second show of the summer season at a theater in the park. It's a, how many? I'm counting Frozen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shows altogether.
Frozen is a movie. They have nights of movies this summer out at Theater in the Park, and they've been doing that for a few years. And they just show different movies for families where people can come out on one night and enjoy a movie, and all those dates are on the Theater in the Park website as well. The other shows this summer are The Chorus Line, a classic.
Yes, that's who the Chiefs hope to beat this year, right?
The Chorus Line.
Never mind.
I get it.
As in Johnny Carson way, some of them work, some of them don't. You just kind of move on from there. But it's a show about people trying out for a Broadway show.
That's correct. A great musical. And so a young cast of dancers, and that should be really a fun evening of theater as well. And then after that is Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
I bet you have a big crowds for that. Well, you probably have big crowds for everything, but especially for Joseph.
Well, Joseph, there are going to be about 60 little kids on stage in addition to the cast. So I think the cast for that show is close to 100 people. It'll be something else. So we should have large crowds. And they do the big Megamix number at the end, which combines them all. It's worth seeing the show just for the Megamix at the end because it'll be fun. But to see all those kids on stage, and of course, Joseph is just a fun show.
Oh, sure. You talk about big cast. When they have auditions for Theater in the Park, big turnout for all those auditions as well.
Oh, yeah, there are just hundreds of people that come out and lots of kids that want to get involved. I think that's one of the really neat things about Joseph is that allowing so many little kids to get their chance to be up on a big stage and see what that's like.
I know you're not directing that show, but the coat itself, is that specially made? Is it rented from someone? Does anyone know?
No, I'm not sure.
I would imagine it would have to be specially made, maybe kept and rented out after that. But that's an amazing thing.
Yeah, really. An important prop for that show, an important costume piece.
It certainly is, Joseph. And that would be coming along, let's see, I have this here, July the 15th would be the opening night of that, followed by, or are they going to fly in Mary Poppins?
Mary Poppins, yep. And that will be everything that you could hope of Mary Poppins. I think that will be a spectacular event. talk about big crowds. I would imagine everybody will be out there to see that.
Especially kids. I would think.
I think one of the things that's interesting about Theater in the Park is it's such a family affair. Mm-hmm. In fact, and David can probably talk about this, we have three generations of one family in the cast of The Drowsy Chaperone.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. Frosty White and his daughter, Sasha Case, and Trudy Hurley and Lauren Hurley, her daughter, are in our show. So, yeah, four from one family in our show.
I'm familiar with Sasha, yeah. She was the Pizza Street girl for a while. I don't know if they're still running that particular commercial, but, well, whether she wants me to say it or not. That was her. That was her in the show. So, is it good when all the family gets involved?
I think it's great. I think it's great to see all the family together. Now, whether they enjoy it or not, I don't know. But I think it's fun. And that feel of family, I think, is a huge part of Theater in the Park. The families who come together to watch the show, the families who perform together, the families that are there to support each other. Theater in the Park has always been like that to me. It's really a second family place. It's a place where there's people around you that like the same thing that you like. In this case, musical theater or theater in the park. And then that's true, of course, of The Drowsy Chaperone and what we're doing at The Drowsy Chaperone, that the man is sharing his love of theater with other people who hopefully love theater. You know, if you love musical theater, The Drowsy Chaperone is written just for you.
I've seen Eric be in regular shows, musicals, directing mm-hmm. both. Do you have a favorite?
Oh, gosh. No, I think my favorite show is always the show that I'm currently in. Because I am such a huge theater buff, particularly musical theater, that it's impossible for me to choose favorites. But I love this role. I do love coming back to this role again. There are a handful of characters I've played over the years that I would come back to in a heartbeat, and this is one of them. So I'm having a great time being the man again.
Yeah, sure, David. Looking ahead in the future, do you have any directing or other acting assignments you know of?
I am going to be directing Kiss of the Spider Woman for the Barn Players in the fall, and I'm also, like David, David's a high school theater teacher at Olathe South. I am the director of theater at Shawnee Mission West, so I have a whole season of shows that I'm working on for next year for my students, and then producing, of course, with the Barn Players as the artistic director. So theater 24/7 is basically what I'm doing.
Oh, sure.
David's pretty much the same way.
Do you encourage your students to come out and audition for some of these things?
Oh, absolutely. When you're teaching high school theater, it's more about teaching kids just about life, but really preparing them for their future and to support the arts, you know, to support the same thing that you're doing right here. And we want the kids may not go on to be professional actors or even to participate in community theater, but we want them to recognize good theater when they see it, to go out and celebrate all theater wherever it is, whatever's going on, and just be a part of that world.
They are, in fact, for at least 6 weeks, maybe longer, depends on the rehearsal period, part of a family. Mm-hmm. Because if it's going to be a good show, they have to gel like a family. They have to support each other, not fight each other. In real life, you know, these are lessons probably that need to be learned before you get too much.
I always describe cast as a family,
yeah,
as a unique family that comes together for, you know, 6 to 10 weeks and they bond and they do a show together. And then that family always exists no matter where you go or what you do. You have that particular unique family that you worked with mm-hmm. in that time period. Cast from shows get very close to each other during mm-hmm. the process. And it's a great perk to doing theater.
And I think audiences in some way form connections with those families, because there are shows that you see throughout the years that you remember, that you go back to, and they just live with you. You can picture the people who are part of those, and those experiences stay with you for a long time, in a large part because of the family that was created on stage, that then you're allowed to be an extra person at their family gathering.
That's true. Yeah, you get to go to a lot more things.
For the two of us, our students come back to us as well. I have three former students in the cast and crew of this show. David has four.
Is that correct? I haven't counted, but I think that's right. I think that's right.
Yeah, so the stage manager is one of our former students, as well as one of the cast members and a couple of the production team members. So that's a part of that family as well.
Oh, so that's a nice story to hear. Theater in the Park has opened. Performances of Cabaret continue this weekend through the 11th on June 7th. Frozen, a sing-along, so it's a movie, you say, so the
right.
But the audience can still sing along.
Oh, they better.
They better. Wouldn't be a very good sing-along if it wasn't. The Drowsy Chaperone will open on June 17th for 2 weeks, followed by A Chorus Line, who the Chiefs hope to beat this time. Am I getting myself in trouble? Yes, why not? That'll play for 2 weeks as well, beginning July the 1st. Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat opens on July 15th. For 2 weekends, followed by Mary Poppins, July 29th through August the 6th for 2 weekends as well, at Johnson County Theater in the Park, 7710 Renner Road, Shawnee, Kansas. If you need to MapQuest things, 66217 is what you fill in there. The number to call for more information, and you'll undoubtedly get a recording because I imagine that number is very used with people asking questions, 913-831-3355. And, of course, if you'd like to peruse on your own, which I like to do, theaterinthepark.org, the 47th season of shows at Johnson County Theater in the Park. And if you haven't been for a few years, you'll see how much it has grown and improved. It's like a little village of its own out there. About how many people can sit on the grass there? Is there a capacity?
There is a lot of grass out there for people to sit on. A lot of people can come out there. It really is a magical place. And if you haven't been there for years, you ought to come out and see it. Sometimes people say, oh, it gets hot during the summer. Mm-hmm. The sun gets behind the trees pretty quickly. A lot of times I won't get out there till right until showtime, and the breeze comes across there, and it's just a beautiful place to spend.
When do the gates open? Because I guess, except for one section, I would guess around 6:30, something like that.
It gets
like
a little later than that, but all that information is on the website, too.
I imagine it probably is. Yes. Theaterinthepark.org, the 47th season of shows out of Johnson County Theater in the Park. I want to thank my guest for being with me, David Tate Hastings. He is the director of The Drowsy Chaperone, and Eric Mangus, who plays the man on the chair, still a board member of the Barn Players.
I'm the artistic director.
He's the artistic director of the Barn Players as well. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for being with us today. Another season of summer theater is starting, and we'll have several outdoor theater groups on the show over the next couple of months. Thanks so much for being with us. We're going to take a short break. When we return, we have more to tell you about, plus more opportunities for you to call and support your pledge to Community Radio KKFI. The number to call is 888-931-0901. Thank you. Well, welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City, part of the Arts lineup here on KKFI. We have Arts Magazine on Monday. We have Arts Speak Radio on Wednesday. Occasionally, other shows have guests from the artistic community. I guess maybe Mark Manning as well. And yes. Charles Ferrugia when he's not doing
garage sales.
That's right. I was going to say the same thing. When they're not covering the garage sale scene, you get that information on KKFI. We are in the middle of our, in the first third of our summer fundraising period here at KKFI. The number for you to call is 888-931-0901. Barry Lee, station manager, is with me again. Sit down, gentlemen.
Yes,
make yourself comfortable. We have guests wandering in. We have a lot of fun here on fundraising weeks, of course.
Yes.
And, welcome down. But we're raising money. There are different levels of contribution. I see here the T-shirt.
$90 or more.
$90 or more, size small through 4 extra large.
Right. I'm rapidly heading toward the 4 extra large one.
I've actually gone down recently.
Good for you, Michael. The number is 888-931-0901. We would love to hear from you. Support the arts by supporting this show, because that's essentially what you're doing. And you're about to hear from some more. We have a telephone call coming down in just a moment or two. But you can also, I want to remind you, go online and support us at kkfi.org. That's our website. On the very front page of that site, you can see a donate button, and all you got to do is click on that, and then you'll get a drop-down box, and it takes about a minute or two to fill it out and do your pledge. It is totally secure. You do not need to worry about your credit card information being transferred anywhere else. It is encrypted and secure, and we will not sell it to anybody, of course. We don't do that sort of thing here.
Yeah, and then quickly, I wanted to mention the guest disc jockey slot, always very popular.
$150 or more for a pledge. It has to be a credit card one. You can also do it as a sustainer. If you do like $15 a month, for instance, that would qualify you for that. It's a great gift if somebody's graduating or you got a marriage coming up or you need a present for your spouse, whatever. It makes a really good present if you're living with someone or you yourself are a real music fanatic and you do mixtapes and you love to put music together. You can come down here and do that on the air and all your friends can hear you. And it's really fun to do. I have one coming on my show at the end of July.
Always very popular.
Yeah, it's really fun. You can do whatever you want. And we'll engineer it for you. All you have to do is show up, bring your music, and talk.
Yeah, so think about that, a birthday present for someone.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I've had those before, even on my show. The number to call,
yes.
888-931-0901, and we'll be back to remind you towards the end of the show about some of these things again. Yes, we do a lot of reminding, don't we? Thank you again, Barry.
Thank you.
Barry Lee, station manager here at KKFI. Let's move on quickly. We're just loaded with guests today. We have some young men in the studio, but we also have on the line Jackie Castile, a member of the Here and Now Festival, of course. Still on the board, I guess. Hello, Jackie.
Correct.
Did I get all that?
Thanks for having me here.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, we have people. We have young people who I guess were part of a project. But I want Jackie to give me the overall of the festival. Does it start Wednesday, Jackie?
We will have professionals from all around the country coming in on Wednesday to kind of get settled in Kansas City before the weekend's events start. But then bright and early on Thursday morning at 9 a.m., we'll have our ticket office, box office open at Holiday Inn at Country Club Plaza. And Workshop 101 folks will be checking in, and we'll be getting ready for a whole weekend full of shows.
Yeah, it's celebrities often.
Yeah.
At least celebrities, you know, within the radio comedy, radio drama genre.
Oh, yes. And I like to describe for people, a lot of these celebrities are folks who have done so many narrating gigs and for different audiobooks, for television. Their voices and what they do is much different than just getting on a microphone. They are really trained at how to create 100 different accents in one book. So it's really amazing to see them perform live in front of an audience and really flex those vocal muscles.
So budding Mel Blancs, perhaps?
We will have William Dupree that's going to be present. He's going to participate in Shakespeare in Sound on Thursday. He's also going to lead the Best in Audio audio theater on Saturday night, I believe. Friday night at 7, Best of Audio Fiction. And he used to be, he did Bob the Builder, the original Bob the Builder.
Uh-huh.
And he was very much inspired by the cartoons of his past to kind of develop those voices. And it's clear when you meet him as well. He's a very cartoony fellow.
Oh, sure. Do you have a website where people can go and look at the schedule of things and perhaps pick when they'd like to come, what they'd like to see?
Oh, yes. We are online at Here, as in listen, H-E-A-R, Here Now Festival.org.
Okay.
We are a nonprofit organization, National Audio Theater Festivals, and I come from community radio myself here in Columbia, Missouri, at KOPN, and audio theater got me into storytelling like I had never been before, and it was all thanks to community radio and those connections. So I can't tell you enough how important it is to call in and support KKFI during their fundraising week.
Oh, yes, we know all about KOP. I guess at one time a group from our station actually visited you down there in Columbia and saw the operation, how it works. When I went to college down there, I don't think there was a KOP in then. Have they been there for very long?
1973.
Yeah, well, it was during my time. time. It's really a long time ago. Now, you are part of a show yourself. You didn't say that, but I'm going to say it for you. You're part of one of the broadcasts on The Last Evening on Friday night. You're part of the audio drama on Friday night.
I'm really excited about the Natus for several years held workshops down in West Plains where nothing could distract you from the art of audio theater, and it was a week-long radio camp that was magical, and this piece is from the last workshop that we did, and I am cast in the part of a community radio station manager during Fun Drive Week.
How interesting. And we are having Fun Drive Week right now.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
I hope the same thing doesn't happen.
Well, I do bad things happen during Fun Drive Week? Yeah. Sometimes things get confused. There's a lot of people in the building right now, people coming in and out, and these things happen. But it's also a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a great treat for anyone to tune in then to the last broadcast. I believe you guys are going to air it as well.
I don't know, but you're probably right. Yeah, knowing us, we will probably do that, yes.
You should. Yeah, it'll be at 9 p.m. at the Holiday Inn on Country Club Plaza on Friday. And it was recorded live in front of an audience. We're bringing in a little sound system that should be able to really give you some good quality and hear all those live sound effects, produced sound effects, and the vocal work that went into that audio theater piece.
Oh, yeah. People don't really always understand what all goes into doing a broadcast like that. But if you have, and I actually have a long play record version of the War of the Worlds of Orson Welles, and listen to that every once in a while, you see, even in, when was it, 1938, 37, how good that actually was.
Oh, yeah. I feel that way when listening to ZBS production. From the 70s, recognizing how timeless audio theater is and how much, you know, whether it's your imagination back in the 70s or your imagination currently in 2016, sound, you know, your brain makes up for those date changes. And when I started listening to ZBS, it seemed like stuff that was produced yesterday.
It certainly does, doesn't it? Radio is of the mind, your imagination. In some ways, you can do things that you really can't do on television or film in some ways.
Very much
so. At any rate, let's review again for the folks. When is the opening night?
Opening night is Thursday evening. We'll kick off things with a free 5 p.m. Event at Prospero's Books. We'll have some professionals reading their favorite Mark Twain passages. And then we will go into Shakespeare in Sound, and that is at 6:30 p.m. at the Kansas City Library. Thanks to the Kansas City Library, that's open to all Kansas City residents. We are bringing Dion Graham, who narrates HBO's The Wire, or In the Wire. He narrates the first 48. Neil Heligers, Robin Miles, William Dufresne, all of those are going to be some really talented actors giving you Shakespeare in how only voice actors can.
Sounds great, yeah. You can get a list of the events by going, as Jackie said, online to Hear Now Festival, H-E-A-R, because it's of the audio, hearnowfestival.org for a list of the times and things. And I assume they can buy tickets. We can't talk about prices, as you well know.
Oh, yeah.
On the air. But you can see that when you go to the website and learn all about it. Thanks for calling in, Jackie, giving us the lowdown on what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Can I say one more thing?
Oh, of course.
And if you do attend that showing or that, listening of the last broadcast at the Holiday Inn on Friday evening, we do encourage you to dress like a zombie.
Oh, okay.
If you'd like to get out your best zombie, that's 9 p.m., and you will be among company. So help us make the last broadcast come alive.
Ah, yes. And it's It's better in person, but at some point you'll hear the broadcast as well, perhaps here on KKFI. Who knows?
And hopefully it won't be the last.
Oh, you don't want it to be the last broadcast. I can understand that. Jackie Castile, a member of the Here Now Festival, on the board as well, Jackie?
Correct. Okay. On the board of National Audio Theater Festival.
She's part of the... Oh. Go ahead.
Yeah, Here Now Festival is our big project, and we hope to get back into doing some workshops, week-long workshops for folks in the near future.
Good. Sounds great. She's also a part of the, what we just talked about, the show, The Last Broadcast, audio drama. It's on Friday night at the Holiday Inn on the Country Club Plaza. She's a radio artist and a producer for our colleague station down in Columbia, KOPN. Thanks so much for dropping by, if only phone-wise.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I look forward to being in KC all week.
Okay. Look forward to meeting you, perhaps. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Jackie Castile. We have some local folks in the studio as well. I don't have all the names, so ma'am, are you the head of this group here?
No, I'm just on the team.
Well, how should you be introduced? Give us your name.
My name is Meredith Ludwig, and okay. I have traveled over here from Boonville, Missouri, which is over in Cooper County, and only a mere 2 hours away, but enjoying your city. And I am here with two students. I'm going to let them introduce themselves, and we're here with the Sound Play Workshop.
Oh, okay.
And they're getting ready to perform also at the Mark Time Awards that will be, Jackie mentioned, June 9th at 9 p.m., at the ballroom at the Holiday Inn Country Club Plaza, and that's just there, right there at East 45th and Main. And that event, these gentlemen are very much involved, and I'll let you take it from there.
Okay, who wants to go first? Your name and what you really do. No, we're not doing that game show.
My name is Ethan Anisi, and this is my second year participating with Paseo's Sound Play team. And on my left is...
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Khalil Odoms, and I'm also another participant in the Mark Time Awards.
So, what was the first name again?
Khalil Odoms.
Khalil?
Khalil.
Okay. I'm just trying to get it right.
I understand.
And the last name again?
Odoms.
Odoms. Okay. I'll find that easier to get than the first one. But you're part of a specific event that will be broadcast. Explain.
Yes. So what we do is we invite people like Meredith, also Judith Walkett and David Osman, who are part of the Here Now Festival, and actually hosting the Mark Twain Awards at the Here Now Festival.
Now, the Mark Twain Awards are given out with respect to Mark Twain.
Mark Time. Yes. So Mark Time is a character based off of their theater company. They're from Seattle?
Yes.
Just outside of Seattle, called the Fire Sign Theater Company.
Oh, uh-huh.
Mark Time was probably one of their most iconic theaters in their various radio dramas.
Yeah. We're trying to tie all the aspects of this together. Now, Khalil?
Yes.
Okay. How do you fit into this mix?
Well, I fit into this because last year I was also another participant in this. Actually, last year before we concluded the Mark Time Awards, I actually made a script that I hope to produce this year during the awards show. And I kind of made it overnight, and, you know, I'm trying to still rearrange it and put together and hopefully be able to perform it in front of a live audience.
What is the thinking there? It's a radio broadcast.
Yeah.
You know this. What do you put in that to make it real, to make it come alive?
I'm trying to still put the pieces together. I'm a little bit confused on.
Oh, well, we all are.
Yeah.
On busy days like this, I am as well. So I don't blame you. But so it'll be performed.
Performed live.
On when?
Thursday, June 9th at the Holiday Inn.
Right. Okay. In the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the list of activities that they can find at HereNowFestival.org.
Actually, the Mark Time Awards has a website as
okay.
well, and that is marktimeawards.org.
Okay, marktimeawards.org.
That's where you'll find information about that specifically. And just to back up a little bit, in April, the team came in, Judith Walcott and Leo Witherell and Jim Steele came in, and we started the process of writing scripts and then producing them and performing them, and we were here for 8 days total. And then out of that, we had students that wanted to take it to the next level, and these two particularly were was terrific because this is their second time, so they already had a jump on and what was going on and in terms of sound and music and what goes into putting a production together.
Yeah, what got you interested in this to begin with? Was it perhaps one of your teachers, a former radio person himself? Maybe.
Well, my dad is actually a local jazz musician. And so he did a lot of, we had a lot of at-home recording sessions with people that he knew. And so I kind of got familiar with how sound systems work just from that, just from watching. And so when one of my teachers approached me saying, hey, do you want to work on radio plays? I said, yeah, absolutely. Because previously I had worked on shows like Sorry, Wrong Number by Lucille Fletcher. And I just had a natural interest. Why not? Yeah.
Yeah. What about Kalia?
My interest in this was kind of influenced by Judith Wolcott when she first came last year. I was kind of interested in seeing how, like, radio can be played with using various props and various actions and also letting students like us create scripts of our own to produce in front of audiences. So I found it interesting. Oh, this is kind of like theater. So just in a different style, you know.
Yeah, it is a little different style, but still there's a message there. Is there a message within your production?
Yeah, there is a different message. I mean, mine is particularly a comedy for my piece. It's called Stranger.
Sure.
And so what I'm trying to produce like a comedy piece. So it's basically a funny.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be.
But
funny.
Even comedy has a message there often. And sometimes that's best done through comedy as well. Do you want to talk about the awards themselves? Are there nominees and all of that,
yes,
Meredith?
There are. And they're listed at the website. But I can tell you that the genres that they celebrate are particular to sci-fi, horror, fantasy, and noir. Mystery.
Noir. Is noir the most popular?
Well, I couldn't say that it is.
Sci-fi is most popular.
Sci-fi? Okay.
Yeah, sci-fi and horror seems, at least last year, a lot of sci-fi and horror pieces took the cake as far as awards. We heard a couple noir pieces, and that's typically like old radio theater just because of the cheesiness that goes into it.
Oh, sure.
It almost becomes like a comedy. So a lot of people don't like to touch noir because they want to be treated like a serious radio dramatist.
Sure.
Well, David Ossman will be here, and he's one of the original members of Fireside Theater.
Oh, yeah.
And they were the ones who put together the Mark Time Awards, and he's here. And so we will be doing a kind of detective noir piece. And so that's going to be exciting. It's going to be we've got a lot going on at 9 o'clock in that ballroom.
Now, people can come and see the awards. And as I understand, we can't talk about prices, but as I understand it, they can come for free.
It's free.
That's
right. There is no charge. You're going to see a lot of action, a lot of activity and awards. And it's cracking up to be pretty exciting, I think.
So they will see people doing their performing before the audience live as if they were doing a radio broadcast. And I assume it'll probably be recorded and all of that.
Yes.
It'll actually be a radio broadcast.
Yes, it will be.
But you'll be able to see the radio show performed live. And they did do this way in the old days. If you listen to old-time radio, you'll hear audience reaction. Some of those shows were done before a live audience. The performers seem to prefer it that way. I remember Bob Hope saying that he loved doing those shows in front of a live audience.
Well, I think that any time that you feed off of it, you know, it affects you, don't you think, when you're working in front of an audience? I think I noticed that when you all did your pieces when we did the final production, and I mean, we were crossing our fingers, and what happened in front of that audience was spectacular. They were amazing. And you want to talk to them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, most of my experience live on stage was last year where Khalil and I were both people who ran Foley for the entire Mark Time performance. And that was just very interesting to be able to have people's attention focused on these actors, and then from the side you hear somebody slicing into a watermelon or something, or maybe scraping a chair across some wood. It was just very, very interesting.
But there's different ways to make sound effects, and that's one. Go ahead.
But the thing I also like about Foley is about the focus and the intention that you have to keep and make sure that every moment is on point, no matter what.
Yeah. Now, the word Foley that they're using, that's the term used in audio arts, radio arts, for sound effects.
Is that Foley is called? Named after a particular gentleman?
Right? I believe that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Actually.
Right.
I would think so, yeah. Well, the Mark Time Awards are Thursday night at 9 o'clock. Free of charge, I think
absolutely.
We can say that,
mm-hmm.
at the Holiday Inn on the Country Club Plaza, and this will happen at 9 o'clock p.m., and you'll be able to see performed, well, how many different pieces do we know?
Well, I think at least six, and then Jackie mentioned one, so mm-hmm. maybe seven. There'll be short pieces. They're mm-hmm. not any of them, you know, terribly long. So.
And one will be awarded the top prize? Is that
well, no, that's the you have to have entered your piece already because they have a panel of judges that have already decided. So if you're interested in entering those awards, there's information on the website for the following year. If you produce and you're out there and would like to try to produce something,
sure.
You know, they've been giving this award for quite a while.
Both of these gentlemen are associated with Paseo High School.
Yes. Yeah. So that's
we brought some pieces, but I didn't know if you had any time to do that.
Well, not today, probably. But thanks. I'll let you have this back.
Okay.
But sure, some of them
will happen. Almost all the pieces that you will hear if you come to the Mark Time Awards will be produced or done live by students from Paseo High School. So it's actually very neat that these audio art professionals decided to come to an inner city school thousands of miles away from anywhere they've done the things.
Yeah. It's exciting because we, a lot of us have known each other for a very long time. This was started in the 80s, and I started going and out in Columbia, Missouri, as a matter of fact, and with David. David was one of the founders, and so it was so exciting to get to teach at that time, you know, and then for a new generation, another generation, it's always so important that, you know, we just spread the art.
Sure. Now, the Here Now Festival is this week. I guess all the events are at that Holiday Inn on the Country Club Plaza. The Mark Time Awards will be Thursday night at 9 o'clock, and other events will take place Thursday and Fridays. Does it spill over into Saturday at all? But all of the events taking place at the Holiday Inn on the Country Club Plaza, audio theater, where it's come and where it is now, and perhaps at times a look into the past, where it's been, and with the technology improvements, just imagine, if you would, how that'll even improve in the years to come. Thanks so much for being with us and telling us about the Mark Time Awards and the Here and Now Festival. Jackie, I want to thank my guests. Let's see if I can get this right. Marilyn Ludwig.
Meredith
Ludwig, Ethan Anisi,
mm-hmm.
and Khalil Odom.
Mm-hmm.
All here telling us about the Mark Time Awards, which will happen this Thursday at 9 o'clock at the Country Club Plaza, and the Over Now, Here and Now Festival as well, with Jackie Castile and others, taking place also at the Holiday Inn on the Country Club Plaza. The website for the Here and Now Festival is herenowfestival.org and marktimeawards.org.
Yes, that is correct.
And that's where you can look up and see what's going on and make your plans accordingly. Thanks so much, everyone. Gentlemen,
thank you so much
for being with us and telling us all about this yearly event, which will probably continue years on into the future as well. We're in the middle of our fundraising activities here. The number to call to make your pledge to support community radio is 888-931-0901. That's the number to call. You can call our helpful, friendly volunteers in the other room. They can explain the various levels where you can give and what you can get as a premium when you do that as well. Remember that guest disc jockey slot, $150. You will receive 1 hour on the air playing whatever you would like to play, music-wise. It will allow you or someone you know to be a radio personality for 1 hour on one of our locally produced programs. So just keep that in mind. The number to call, once again, 888-931-0901 to help support community radio here in Kansas City, KKFI, the arts program that we do. We have several shows weekly here on the radio station that support the arts community. I like to give people an idea of what's going on, the kind of show. People have a man recognized my voice at one event I was at, and he said, "The reason I like your show, you tell me what the show's going to be about. I have a good idea of whether my date will enjoy going." And she turned around and she said, "Yes." She said, "And you do a good job of explaining that." So I felt gratified, at least in that regard. That's what we try to do here. What's going on, what it's about, but you decide. You have the right to decide what you want to see. With the number to call to support all of this, to keep this radio station going, think of us as your family. Think of us as your friends. We've probably been around a lot longer than some of your friends have been around. But we need your support to continue going on. We enjoy it. Think of KKFI as your family, as a friend, someone you can depend on. Always looking to hear your input. Send us that information along the way if you would like. The number to call to give a pledge, just to help support community radio, this endeavor. It's been going on for a number of years now. Not about to leave, not by any means, but we certainly would like your support. 888-931-0901 to support KKFI here in Kansas City. The Jazz Insider is next. He has some special jazz planned for you. Jazz from 1 to 3, the blues from 3 to 6, right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.